This morning I'll be reading from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
If you were to die right now, do you think you would go to heaven? If you were to die this afternoon, between the time that we have prayed together in this service and the time that we shall pray again in another service this evening, do you believe your soul would be in the right relationship with God so that you could go to heaven? The reason I ask those two questions and the reason for the lesson this morning comes from a conversation that Brother Ron Butterfield and I had last Sunday afternoon, which he told me a little story as we were talking about the subject of forgiveness after I had preached on forgiveness last Sunday. He said there was an occasion where this man ate supper with his family, and during the prayer for the food, among other things, they prayed for forgiveness of sins. He left the table and went back to his office to do some things that he needed to do that evening, and about an hour later, he had a fatal heart attack. And as they were discussing his situation and his future, one in the family made the remark, "I hope he did not have an evil thought and forgot to take care of it since we had the prayer at the table and asked for God's forgiveness." I wonder sometimes if maybe that is the attitude that we allow ourselves to develop toward the forgiveness of sins. In fact, sometimes we say and think, and I think I probably have said this also in a prayer, "Father, forgive us of our sins that we've committed since we last stood justified in thy sight." And I'm not critical of anyone who has used that statement, because I think all of us probably have, and maybe have not intended to suggest anything contrary to the teaching of God's word, but think about it for a moment. Do we gather up our sins for a period of time and then we come to a point and we pray for the forgiveness of those sins? And then we begin to gather up sins from that time until we're together again and we pray for those? Or even in private prayer, do we look at it as though we pray for forgiveness and then we're justified, and then there's a period of time where we sin some more and we pray and we're justified? I think it may be possible that too many of us think of forgiveness in that way. When I was studying in English back several years ago, I remember the teacher talking about words that are almost the same that have a different meaning, and one set of words that she talked about were the words continual and continuous. Now, I know in some instances you may think of those as synonyms, and they may even be defined as synonyms in some circles. But this teacher made a point, and I've always tried to use these words in that way since then, and I think she was right, that the word continual is a word that means at different intervals. Like you would knock, wait a few seconds, and knock, and wait a few seconds, and knock. That's continual. Whereas the word continuous means without stop. It just goes on and on and on and on and on without stopping. That's continuous. It may be that we have allowed ourselves to come to the point of thinking of forgiveness as being continual instead of continuous. Brother Pack used the word continued in the prayer today. We thank God for the continued forgiveness, and that's somewhat the same idea that I'm suggesting with the word continuous. It is something that goes on and on and on. It continues, and it is continuous in the sense that it's not at intervals. We don't receive God's forgiveness just at an interval here and an interval there and one over yonder, but it is something that is continuous. And if we do not understand that, we cannot sing, especially one of the songs that we sang this morning, as we ought to sing it, and I have reference to that song, Blessed Assurance. We need to be able to live with blessed assurance. We need to be able to live as Christians, believing that if we were to die in this very service, or if we were to leave this earth tonight in our sleep, or whatever the circumstances, that we would be in the right relationship with God and Christ so that heaven can be our home. We need to be able to live with that kind of blessed assurance. Back several years ago, I worked for a few years in an area where the main religious error was that you cannot fall from grace. Once saved, always saved. I probably studied harder on that subject than any one subject, and especially in the radio work where we had a daily radio program, dealt with that because it was what was being taught throughout the area. We had to deal with it. I was convinced then, and I am convinced now, that that's a false teaching. To teach that once a Christian you can never sin so as to be lost, or you can never fall from grace, or you can never turn back, is an erroneous doctrine. However, there is a danger in becoming so concerned about that erroneous doctrine that we shoot past the truth and fail to see what it is. The truth of the matter is that if we keep the right relationship with Christ and we keep holding on to Him in the right way as our Savior, we cannot fall. And now there's a great difference in those two ideas. One is that if you become a Christian, it doesn't make any difference. What you do, you can't fall. That's wrong. The other idea is you become a Christian and you hold on to Christ in the right way. And as long as you hold on to Him, you can't fall. That's the truth of the matter. And that's where we find our blessed assurance. Let me share with you a few scriptures that I believe emphasize this. In the first place, the Bible teaches us that we have the continuous power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not continual power. His blood is not like a service station that you go down and fill up and you run till you run out and maybe run out of gas and can't get back to the service station and you have to go again. It's not like that at all. His blood is a continuous power. Not continual, but continuous power. Hebrews 9 says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, if we're going to have that blessed assurance, we need the conscience right. Here's the answer. The blood of Jesus Christ purges the conscience. But how does it do that? When does it do it? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. It's in that forgiveness of sins, but how does that work? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, watch it, cleanseth us from all sin. The word cleanseth there seems to be a word that suggests this continuing action. Not just point action, but a continuing action. A continuous, if you please, action. The power is in the blood of Jesus Christ to take care of our sins 24 hours a day, not just at certain times during the day. Continuous power. It's somewhat like the life support machine that we might use at the hospital to keep a person alive. Now, there are other machines that are quite different. For example, someone has difficulty breathing with asthma or sinus problems or something like that and is hospitalized. And they will bring in a breathing machine. And they give a treatment. And I've had people even say this to me when I go in to visit. I just had a breathing treatment. The machine is gone. Things begin to build up. The person gets worse. And they bring the machine in. And they give another breathing treatment at intervals, different intervals. And it could be, if they didn't get that machine there in time, that the person could die because they didn't have the treatment. But the life support machine is different. Person is hooked up to that life support machine, and it keeps on. And even if the person cannot breathe on his own, could not do other functions that are necessary on his own, he's hooked up to the life support machine, and he continues to be hooked up. And you and I have discussed amongst us many times that a person can be kept alive indefinitely. Even though he cannot take care of things himself, by himself, he's hooked up to that life support machine, and as long as he is, he can be kept alive indefinitely. I say to you this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ is like a life support machine. And if we're hooked up to it, even though we may not be able to do everything for ourselves, we may not be able to take care of things that need to be cared for, if we are hooked up to Christ, he is our life support machine, and it's not something that hits at certain intervals. It's something that is continuous. Now, in order for us to be hooked up to him, there needs to be a continuous relationship with Christ. And that's what you and I should be talking about when we talk about being a Christian. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw nigh to God by him. Notice, save to the uttermost. Take care of all of it. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Not just a period of intercession now and one later. He ever liveth. There is the continuous idea. Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, and here may be the key, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. When? All the time, if I'm the Christian I ought to be. I live in Christ. When? All the time. Even when I'm asleep, even when you do not know what's going on in your life, if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ as you ought to as a New Testament Christian, and you are hooked up to the blood supply, that is a continuous relationship. Not a continual, a continuous relationship. Therefore, when you go to bed at night, you can pillow your head in peace because you believe if something were to happen to you before the morning, that you have that relationship with Christ as your Savior. You go about the activities of the day, maybe sometimes so involved in the activities that you don't really, for a period of time, think about Christ. And that's to be expected. But you know that you are hooked up to him, that you are his, that he is yours. And even though you may not be thinking about him 24 hours a day, the whole thought process is about him, and you have that continuous relationship with Christ. That means that you have the continuous attitude that you ought to have. You see, humility and penitence are involved in this subject of forgiveness. But is humility something that we become humble for a few minutes and we pray to God and then we get up from our humility and go on and forget it? Are we penitent for a few minutes and then we forget that penitence? No, that's not what true humility and true penitence is. Humble yourselves before the Lord, James 4, verse 10, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, those general areas of those two chapters. He'll lift you up. Sort of put yourself down in humility and Christ will lift you up. Cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. When does he care for you? All the time. When should you live with humility and penitence all the time? Life ought to be an attitude of humility. We ought to constantly be aware, even if we're not constantly thinking about it, that we are unworthy, that we cannot save ourselves, that we do not deserve salvation. And we should constantly be aware, though here again we may not be specifically thinking about it, that we are sinners, that we make mistakes, that we need forgiveness. And I suggest to you that it is that constant awareness of humility and penitence that keeps us hooked up to where there is continuous forgiveness of our sins, a continuous attitude of humility and penitence. Perhaps even confession is not unlike that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9, teaching us that forgiveness is somewhat dependent on confession. But does that mean that I've got to make a record of every detail of every mistake that I make and confess every detail to God, and if I happen to overlook some little detail, that that'll put my soul in jeopardy? I don't believe that's what he's talking about. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, James 5:16. Definitely, there are specific sins that we need to confess to ourselves, to our God, and sometimes to one another. James 5:16 teaches that. But does that mean that if I forget to confess some little mistake that I've made and I overlook it, that that's going to condemn my soul? I don't believe so if I live with an attitude of penitence and humility and confession. Maybe Jesus had that in mind to some extent in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whoever will confess me before my Father, I will confess him. The fact that we confess our faith in Jesus Christ and we continue to live for him, he is there to confess us before our Father. And just maybe that statement in Romans 8 that talks about the groanings that cannot be understood going in the direction of God, not in the direction of us, may suggest that when we sometimes can't find the words to express ourselves to God, that there's the Holy Spirit, there's Christ to make intercession for us. But what I'm saying is that there needs to be that continuous attitude of confession, not just the idea that I make a list and I sin 10 times today, so I confess 10, tomorrow 9 or 11, I confess those, but the attitude of a continuous confession. And that brings about something that's very interesting that we may not have thought through as we should, and that is that there ought to be continuous prayer. You mean I ought to be praying to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? I think that's what that says. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, it did not say that I've got to be down on my knees 24 hours a day. It did not say that I've got to be in my closet 24 hours a day. And it did not say that we've got to be in a service like this 24 hours a day. It said, pray without ceasing. I am convinced more and more that the very thought process of a Christian is a prayer. You see, if you and I are Christians and we're hooked up to Christ, who is the life support, and we understand that God knows not only our actions and our words, but he knows our very thoughts, there is a sense in which I am sharing everything that I think with my God. And that's a type of prayer process. And I've come to believe that that's the main meaning of that little passage, pray without ceasing. Are there prayers where we pray together? Yes. I wish everybody could have been a part of the prayer that we prayed this morning, a wonderful prayer. But is that all the prayer that there is in our worship? Even as we are studying God's Word, are we not in a prayerful attitude toward God? I would hope, in a sense, that you are even praying for me as I am presenting God's Word. Even as we sing, as we observe, as we do everything in worship, there's a prayerful attitude. And even if we are in recreation, or we are asleep, or we're on the job, or we're at school, or wherever it is, that entire process, that entire thought process is somewhat of a prayer.
There is a sense in which we never say amen. Oh, we may say amen for emphasis, but I mean there is a sense in which we never close our prayers. Those prayers continue. They are continuous in our relationship with God. Now, if we have the continuous power of the blood, the continuous relationship with Christ, the continuous attitude of humility and penitence and confession, and a continued thought process of prayer, it stands to reason that there is continuous forgiveness. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 1:14 says almost the same thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the passage that Tony read earlier, forget not all his benefits. That may be what we've been doing. We may have been forgetting some of the benefits. The very next verse says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I wouldn't be misunderstood for anything. I'm not promoting the idea of indulgences. I'm not promoting the idea that we just pray to God and then he takes it from there and we don't have to do anything, not by a long shot. But I am saying, and I believe scripturally so, that we may not be able to think of every detail of every sin that we have committed, and that we don't have to, as long as we are aware of our sins and our mistakes, and we are aware that Christ's blood will take care of all of them, and we continue in a lifestyle of humility and penitence and confession, that when we do that, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to take care of all our sins to where we are in the right relationship with him, and if death were to come, even suddenly in unusual circumstances, that we are ready to go to live with him in heaven. But the bottom line of it is, whether or not we are hooked up to the life support machine of Christ and his blood. You're not a Christian. You leave this building today and you're in an automobile accident and you're pinned in that car. And it's apparent that you're not going to live, that nobody can get you out. You're not in a position to really, really receive the forgiveness and have the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ because you're not hooked up to it. But if I leave this building today, anyone who is a Christian, and there is an automobile accident, and I am pinned in that accident, and I know that I can't get out, and I know that I can't live, I know I can talk to my Savior, and I know that even if I were to be in a position where I was not able to know what was going on, that my Savior's blood would continue to take care of me and take care of my sin. There is continuous forgiveness for the one who continues in that right relationship with Jesus Christ. We can lose it. We can turn our backs on it, but he won't turn his back on us. Continuous forgiveness. Do you have it? If you don't, you need to hook yourself up with Christ, the life support spiritually, by coming as together we stand and sing.